John Colescott, Executive Chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance, is here, and we're catching up on everything that's happening in the closed-end fund space now on The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. Joining me again today, John Colescott, who not only runs the Active Investment Company Alliance, but who is Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which has some really good research tools online for you to use at cefdata.com. You can learn more about the firm at CEF Advisors. And by the way, they just did their quarterly review and outlook as a webinar. So if you want to learn more about the closed end funds and get more of John Colescott than even we can give you, go check out the Closed End Fund Advisors website. One more note, John Colescott's father, George Colescott, is something of a legend in the closed-end fund space. And long before I knew John, I was actually interviewing his father, who just turned 83.
Happy birthday to you.
Beyond wishing George Colescott a happy birthday, well, this is our 45th edition of The Navigator.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we'll dispense with the happy birthday, but we'll get to the talk. Remember, if you want to get more information on closed-end fund investing, go to AICAlliance.org. John Colescott, thank you for joining me again on The Navigator.
Always love being here, Chuck.
We just went through a really interesting quarter in terms of course, the stock market. But it was particularly interesting for closed-end funds. Closed-end funds were hammered during the first quarter. Now, we've got bigger discounts. We've seen a huge comeback, though many closed-end funds are still down for the year. So give us a quick take on where closed-end funds are now, because intuitively, I'm thinking this is kind of investment's bargain right now.
It is. I mean, first off, remember, closed-end funds are roughly half equity sectors, half bond sectors, and they're way more than just the Dow Jones, the S&P, or the NASDAQ. And so we saw a very, very, very healthy second quarter. Discounts kind of narrowing and solid performances, but we're still off about 8% for the average closed-end fund this year on NAV through July 8th, and down about 14% on market prices. You know, discounts historically, again, we always talk about 4%, but it's a hairy number. But right now, the universe is about an 8 discount. And while we love seeing discount tailwinds, that's a great benefit for investors, we also remember dividend changes. The quarter was rough for them. Just conceptually, about 3 times bigger than average and almost 2.5 times as more than usual, because it was a rough quarter. But I think we're still set with a solid approach to a diversified portfolio.
The dividend cuts for an investor who is buying closed-end funds, basically looking to get income. The dividend cuts, well, they were maybe the right move for the company. They may have made the closed-end fund suffer a little bit. Is that something that you're willing to ride out, or is that something that you worry about in certain industries where maybe the dividend cuts were so broad, you have to change how you view the income possibilities?
I'll say how we did it for our clients and our income approach to closed-end funds at Closed-End Fund Advisors was in March, we went for the policies that were generally more protective. We also overweighted sectors like senior loans and preferreds and utilities and munis that are more resilient in the turbulent future. And that gave us a little bit less yield because they're a little bit less risky, but it gave us more comfort. For perspective, our dollars are down from the previous quarter, but more like 8 to 10% versus 15 to 20% for the sector. And I believe that you need a closed-end fund to pay you what it can return long-term, or will dividend itself out of business.
What are the other parts of the industry that you like? And then conversely, what are the parts that are really scary right now?
Really scary to me in my universe are, I would say, where there's still some significant premiums. Like, even though we said we liked preferreds, we've been very careful because they're on average at around 3 premiums. that's aggressive, and you can often get a similar after-tax yield in munis, yielding high fours on average in a high tax rate. So that's where we are saying be careful on preferreds. I would lean more into munis. And then when you think about global bonds, I think you've got to find a manager and to decide to be in non-U.S. bonds in a more thoughtful way with a much bigger discount mandate, with a simple reason of they don't have our Fed, and our Fed is supporting our credit in a much stronger way than any other country has a chance to.
How do you think closed-end funds weather all the frothiness in the news between COVID-19, election, etc.?
Well, I listen to a lot of people, strategists, economists, fund managers, for a sense of what's going on. I still have no idea what's going to happen. I can only try to build a resilient portfolio. I would just say the country has found a way to grow through other problems, but you can't think that, you know, any one sector is always perfect and discounts always revert or dividends are always going to be paid. Like, when you bank a strategy on one thing, it's easy to get burned. I'm a risk manager, and so we think just more broadly about, okay, where can we get a bit of a discount, a simpler dividend? You know, right now, the muni funds are increasing their durations to levels I didn't know they could, because there's such a long runway till rates should go up. And so that's the way I would think of it, and then react to the market. You know, if dividends get cut, do you buy more, or do you have to swap because you're an income mandate that needs X dollars per month? Being reactive and proactive together is a great strategy.
I mentioned your upcoming webinar. Now, obviously, closed-end professionals really need to be there, but individual investors can go too. So explain what they're going to get, how they're going to make the most of this and not be maybe overwhelmed or mismatched with the conference.
Again, it's just going to have content covering traditional closed-end funds, BDCs, interval funds. We're going to have an afternoon block of content with three slots, but four going on at a time. So you'll be able to curate your own. You'll get your conference based on your interest and what you need. And again, the way our conferences work is we invite to speak, and then you pay to attend. But thankfully, there's no food to buy, so admission's going to be only like $59 per registrant for 6 hours of events. And I think it's going to be a great place to wet your whistle, to dig deeper, and to choose your own adventure in a closing fund event that literally is curated for quality and a diverse perspective across the landscape, because we don't have to do a pay-to-play model.
Quickly, because we're almost out of time, give us a closed-end fund or two that you would suggest that average investors check out right now.
We always like to go in for spots we think are relatively safe, but the funds are maybe a little bit unique and it might be off your radar because they're newer. And so two of the newer funds are from traditional places. BlackRock has BMEZ. It's a kind of a biotech flavored fund that came out earlier this year, but it's trading at a 10 discount and a 5.5 yield. And, you know, it's a great, if you want to be in that sector, it's far more attractive than some other funds in that space and from a manager with a lot of great resources. On the other side is River North, which is a crossover. They own close-end funds. They make close-end funds. They have a muni fund that's RFM that's a blend of traditional close-end fund muni guts and then actual muni bonds that they tactically adjust based on their outlook for risky versus safe. And they're about a 9 discount and about a 6 yield. And so the discount should narrow. The yields can change. But to me, they're great companions because they're very different parts of the economic cycle.
John, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining us. Wish your father a happy birthday for us and come back and talk to us again soon.
Thank you, Chuck. Glad to be here.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. I'm Chuck Jaffe, your host. You can learn more about my work and my show at moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about closed-end funds and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance, on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott, Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, the founder and executive chairman of the AICA. His firm is online at cefadvisors.com and cefdata.com, and he's on Twitter at John Cole Scott. The Navigator podcast is available every Friday. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast app and join us again next week for more closed-end fun. Till then, stay safe, everybody.